Happy Father's Day. Where my father's at?
Father's Day.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I want Father. Come on, y'all got to get yours. See? Blessed. We are blessed to have you. We are grateful for you. Without you, none of us would be here. And then also, unfortunately, for you all this year, your Father's Day happened to fall on Juneteenth. So, but celebrate freedom, fathers. We are grateful again for all of what we have. Let's do a little quiz, because we're a little bit ignorant when it comes to holidays and stuff like this. What was the original name of Juneteenth? He said Pride. Anybody else? Jubilee Day. Anybody know what that reference is? Yes, Jubilee. The 50th year was the Jubilee year. So our ancestors who first started celebrating Juneteenth referenced the Word of God in regards to this day, to celebrate that after all those years in 1865, see, people don't know, slavery ended in the North and in the then South, but it didn't include anything on the other side of Mississippi. So it was in 1865 when they first arrived, and when those troops arrived in those plantations, at those places, the people were amazed because it wasn't just a bunch of white troops. There were black soldiers that came, and they rejoiced in their jubilee. So we're grateful for Juneteenth, and we're grateful for our fathers. But more importantly, we're grateful to our father. Amen? Because without him, nothing is possible. Let's stand and let's read our scripture together, which today is found in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. It's ready. Let's read it together.
Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free."
Amen. Aren't you glad you're free today? In the best possible ways. Not just free from slavery to some job or some people. This is how I fight my battle. But free from sin. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
I'm surrounded, but I'm
surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Good to know we're not alone. We're never alone. We're going to have Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks open us in prayer.
Good morning, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, each and every day. We thank you because you are a good, good Father. We can always depend on you. You never let us down. You are there to fight our battles. You provide us with everything that we need. You are our source. And we thank you, Jesus, because we have that relationship with our Father. Without you, we wouldn't even know him. And we are just so grateful, Lord. We're grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't it good to be free?
Yes.
Isn't it good to be free? No more because we on plantations or because we in bondage. We sing because we're free no matter where we are. Say it truly, the sun sets free.
It's free indeed.
Yes. We're singing because we know who has given us a song. If you need an envelope, because offering is about to be taken up, please gather one. If you don't know by now, going in this church, grab one on your way in. But in the meantime, all y'all happy people, we're here to celebrate not just our fathers, but truly our Heavenly Father. Is He good? He's a good, good Father. He's a good Father.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of
call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Are you loved by your good Father? You are saved, have been delivered and set free. You have a good, good Father. Because most gods put, all gods put their people in bondage. But ours sets us free to be who He created us to be. It's time for altar call. You can have a seat or you can stand. It's time to put somebody on the spot, namely Deacon Tate, because it is Father's Day. And since he's one of the fathers of the church, Deacon Tate coming up to lead us in altar call. It's good to see Nita and Quania here. We are still praying. Remember the list, Loretta and her family, Keela, and all the sufferers of gun violence, because it seems to not end. And of course, our families here, Running for Christ Ministry, the Lawson and the Perry family continuing. Our recent graduates, Amir, Jalen, and Cameron. Three Jesus-knowing black men. How about that? And of course, government at all levels needs prayer.
Morning. How's everybody this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I know we're going to altar call right now. When we go to altar call, we're usually taking things to Him that have been going on during our week, going on during this day, going on through our lives. Right now, whatever it is you're taking to Him, I need you to leave it with Him. And know that He's going to do something about it. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. Sometimes you got to wait a little while. But while you're waiting, you have to have faith and believe. And most of us here already know that He answers every prayer. He hears every request that goes up. And He answers according to His will. Let's go before the Father right now. Lord God, our Father, we thank You first and most of all. Daddy, it is Father's Day. And us that are fathers, and not just the men that are sitting here, but those mothers that have stood in the trenches all this time for those sons and have turned them into men. We thank you for that, Father. We know, too, that there's nothing that goes on in this world that we live in or in the universe that you don't know about, Father. And for that, we thank you. Right now, Father, all we ask is that you continue to do what you've been doing for us since the beginning of creation. You see, Father, we came here as babies. And we have babies in our midst right now. And we go from being babies to young children. And from young children to a little bitty older children. And then we get a little bitty older children, Father. But we always continue to be your children. And we have to recognize the fact that you're our Father. You're a good, good Father, like we sang in that song. And you're perfect in all of your ways. You tell us to cast each and every one of our cares on you. You said it in your word. But you tell us also to humble ourselves before you, and you'll lift us up. Father, right now, for that one that need to be lifted up, let it be so. Let it be so, Father. But you also tell us to pray about everything and don't worry about anything, Father, right now. So it's hard for me to stand here in front of you right now, Father, and worry about things. Worry about what happened. Worry about what went on. And I know everything, everybody got something that's going on right now, Father. But that past thing is in the past. Yes. We live in the present with you, and you have a future for us. Father, we're praying for those that lost loved ones right now, Father. The separation factor is real. But the same thing, Father, we have to understand too, is you felt that same separation when your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was on that cross. And you got so mad that you split the veil in the temple. See, we have to understand, Father, there's nothing that goes on in our lives that you haven't already felt. You came here as a man, Jesus himself, just so you'll be able to understand just what we go through in these lives. But once again, Father, we talked about your compassion this morning. Let us be compassionate to those, Father. Let us show those that have lost loved ones the love that you have for us. See, your love is unfailable, Father. Your love is unconditional. Your love is a perfect love, Father. So let it be that we exhibit that same love that's in you, that you have in yourself to them. You see, Father, we are your children, and we really are. And believe it or not, we have some of your characteristics. As we learn to walk and get closer to you, Father, we come to be as you want us to be. We're not perfect yet, and we won't be perfect until we get to be where you are. But we serve a perfect God, and that's the God that we pray to you right now, Father. And not just perfect, but that good God, Father. That good God, and that's you. So, Father, whatever it is right now, see, Father, I have no idea what's going on in some people's lives that are sitting here right now, but you do. And like I said before, you told us to cast it all on you because you care about us. And you also said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And that's where we are right now, praying to you, Father. That you will forgive our sin and heals our land. See, sometimes, Father, we think that it's something that is sin that we've committed. Father, is any sin right now that stands between us and you, move it out of the way so that you can do what you do. But, Father, we also know, too, that you're our God. There is no other God but you. You are the only true and living God. And, Father, is anybody out there right now that doesn't believe that before they leave this place today? Help them to understand. Bring it to them that you are real. You see, the sun, the moon, the stars, outside, inside, everything that goes on. Nothing goes on without you because you put everything in place. If anybody is questioning how you ever did this, Father, remove that question from their mind right now. And let it be that some of us that are in here that know, go to that individual and help that individual to understand just who you really are. Father, we're your kids. And that's all we are. We're your children. Sometimes we bad kids. Sometimes we good kids. Most of the time we not doing what you tell us to do. So let it be, Father, that we seek you first. Let it be that because you said if we seek you first and all of your righteousness, that everything will be taken care of. And once again, Father, like I said, you tell us to pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and don't worry about anything, because you got us. And as long as you have us, we good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hey! Praise the Lord, saints. Good to see you all on this wonderful Father's Day. Hopefully we get some respect and a nap, some good to eat. So it's my honor and my privilege to introduce my fraternal twin from a different set of parents. And I've watched him literally grow from a baby to a man. And he's visiting us all the way from Battle Creek.
Okay.
So we thank his good pastor Troxler for loaning him to us for Father's Day.
Amen.
So I need y'all to put y'all hands together and show your love for DeAndre Perry.
Can everybody hear me? All right, our text for this morning is going to come from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Let me get this together. And if you have the King James Version, it reads, verses 1 through 9, as I said. And now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land, which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers and give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thy go, the word of God. Now, based on this passage of scripture, I want to title this sermon or this text. We're going to make a swap of it. There we go. I want to title this text, Understanding the Assignment. Understanding the Assignment. And talking about assignment, if y'all see something under my shirt, I'm the police, don't worry about it. How you doing, family? I want to acknowledge my big cousin and pastor and angel of this house, Reverend Overall, for inviting me to come down to my pastor, for allowing me to come down, Pastor Timothy Troxler, to the Reverend Tate's, plural. and other ministers and deacons here. Hi to all of you, and to all of you who are really family. A good chunk of y'all are my actual blood relatives in the room, and the rest of you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. So it is great to be here with you, be back home, to really be back where I grew up. So it's great to be here. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. Today is an interesting day for me. Those of you may know, I lost my father about a month ago. So it is a difficult and interesting day for me, being that first Father's Day where my father is not here with me on earth. And there's been a lot going on over this last month. So it's a lot going on in my mind and in my spirit. But one of the things that has really been on my mind, and one of the things I've thought about, is that I'm the oldest out of my father's children and out of my crew. So I was talking to my grandfather in the ministry, my pastor's pastor, and he told me, it's different when you're the phone call. And what he meant by that is when mama got a problem, when your little brother got a problem and his car broke down, when something happened, you're the phone call now. Daddy's not here for them to call. They gonna call you, and you gotta fix it. So it's been going through my mind about what it means to be a father, and to be that kind of male figure for the family now. So it's really been going through my head. So that's where this sermon comes from, understanding the assignment. And those who know me know that I was shaped by the game of football. I played that game for a long, long time. And so a lot of my references and the way I think are football references. And I thought that was applicable for fathers on Father's Day. We're going to talk a little football. So who here has ever heard of George Gipp? You know who that is? George Gipp. So for those who do not know, if you're a little younger, have you ever heard of the famous speech called "Win One for the Gipper"? Newt Rodney gave this speech at halftime of Notre Dame's 1928 game against Army. Rodney was trying to salvage something from his worst season as a coach at Notre Dame. To inspire the players, he told the story of the tragic death of the greatest player ever at Notre Dame, George Gipp. Notre Dame went on to win that game against Army. More importantly, the story behind it became solidified into popular culture after its recreation in the 1940 movie Newt Rockne, All-American. The phrase "win one for the Gipper" was infused into the American lexicon and later became a rallying cry for the political campaigns of an actor who played Gipp in the movie, named Ronald Reagan. It sadly is not as well known as the Gipper speech, but God once gave a pregame speech to Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua. Now, Joshua was an extremely well-trained man. He first appears in Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, and in that he is immediately put to work. So as soon as you see Joshua come on the scene, let's get to work. His training began in verse 14 of that text. And he is so close by when Moses first receives the law from God, which we see in Exodus chapter 24, 12 and 13. So as was referenced earlier, when Moses saw God, Joshua was right down the mountain in the cleft right near him. So whenever you saw Moses doing something, his trainee was real close by, watching, learning at the same time. He had a privileged relationship with Moses and God. We see that in Exodus chapter 33 and Numbers 13. He has faith, which we see in Numbers 14. He was chosen by God himself to succeed Moses. Now that's an impressive resume just right there. In all, Joshua spent 40 years observing and training under Moses. 40 years of training. Who up until that time had been the only leader the children of Israel had ever known. They had been slaves for 430 years. Now Moses had led them for 40 years, and now the reins are being handed over to Joshua. And even with all that preparation, Joshua still needed a speech to pep him up when it was time to get in the game. Now, fathers, I know we can all relate to this. We may have had a father. We may have not had a father. We may have uncles. You might have pastors. You might have people around you who showed you the example of how to be a father. But when that baby popped out, all bets were off. It was, man, I don't know what to do. Ladies, y'all might not feel that way. Y'all might not get it. But every man in here, when that baby came out, you were like, I don't know what to do. My wife would I didn't even want to hold my kids. I was like, they too little. I'm going to break something. Here. So, just as Joshua needed that speech from God to get him going, fathers, I hope we can glean from what God told Joshua to give us that pep we need to keep leading, keep being fathers. So point one, my first point is that God reminded Joshua of his position and his assignment. And that comes from verse 2. Let's just read verse 2 again to refresh it. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So one of the first things that any good coach does is he ensures that his players understand who they are and what they should be doing. He gives them their role and tells them how to carry it out. Right? We just saw the Golden State Warriors win the title the other night. Everybody know their job. Steph, Clay, you shoot. Draymond, you pass and rebound. Wiggins, you play defense. Everybody stay within their role and we'll win. That's what a good coach does. So my beloved but maddening Detroit Lions, they wouldn't have a defensive tackle throwing the ball. They wouldn't have their quarterback trying to make tackles. That's not what they do. That's not at all what they do. So what God did in verse 1 here is he reminded that Moses was dead, and now Joshua says, it's your turn. Now, of course, Joshua already knew that, but just like some of us, he needed this reminder that it was his turn. He was the next man up. It was now his position. I'm sure that he quickly realized what my pastor Troxler always says, and he tells me, and I learned once I started preaching, it's a lot hotter in the pulpit than it is sitting out there. When you're sitting out there, it's real easy to say what church leadership or whoever should be doing or what should be going on. But then when they tell you, okay, you do it, it's like, So it's just different. It's different when it's on you. So he told him he was up, and then he reminded him of his assignment. His job was to lead the people into the promised land. So all these great things that Moses had done, all these miracles that you saw in Egypt, he led them 40 years in the wilderness, but now God was telling Joshua, now it's your job to take them to the next level. So fathers, that is what I say to you, and that what I charge you with as fathers is that wherever our children are now, it is our duty to take them to the next level of their lives, right? One of the things that is maddening to me, as I told you, I am a police officer, but I'm a school resource officer. I work inside of Battle Creek Central High School is where I'm assigned right now. And if I hear one more parent say, I just got to get them to 18, I'm going to lose my mind, right? It is your job to get them to that next level. Right? Always people don't think about in this context, but you see a scripture where it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. He said, he shall leave who? His father and his mother, right? It don't say even a man, it don't say a man left his apartment where he was taking care of himself and got married. Not saying you don't, but biblically it says you build a foundation with your parents, you get a wife, and now y'all have something of your own. It don't say when he turned 18, his daddy kicked him out. It says I built him up to the point where he could take care of a wife, and then I handed them over. You might not agree with me, but it's what it says. So, again, it's Joshua's job to take them into the promised land. So remember that the children of Israel had been right on the edge of this land for 40 years. It had probably taken on like a mythical status to them. Like we're almost, it wasn't real. Like I'm sure they had like exaggerated what was over there and just all these dreams they had about going to this land that was right there, but they could never go into. So it had to be an exciting day and a scary day to say, now we get to go. Now, fathers, now we understand this excitement and this fear, because like I said, you may love your wife and you couldn't wait to have a baby and have a family. But when it came, man, you were scared. Of like, man, I'm gonna mess this up. I'm gonna do something wrong and it's gonna scar my baby for life. Y'all laughing, but we think about that stuff. Like, how is my child going to recover from the mistakes I made? I had my first one at 25. I still ain't know what I was doing. For y'all that had them at 17, 18, 19, because I would still be apologizing to my child. Like, I am so sorry for the first decade of your life. I'm sorry. Because I was an idiot for the first decade of your life. I'm sorry. I will be apologizing. So, remember when we're talking about Joshua here. Joshua is one of only two living people in this group who had actually been to the promised land. Joshua is the elder. Remember, at this point, Joshua is the oldest Israelite. Everyone's younger than him. He's the oldest Israelite. So he was perfect for the assignment. He was the elder, and he wasn't perfect just because he was the oldest, because it's a lot of old fools. Just being around is not a job qualification. And I saw y'all see it on y'all jobs. Y'all have somebody, I've been here 40 years and you ain't had no training. You ain't done. You've been doing the same thing for 40 years. Why should you be in charge? But it wasn't just that he was old. It was that he was old and he had been prepared. He was the most qualified and God ordained to lead. So point two. God told Joshua to follow and memorize his playbook. Verse 7 and 8, let's read it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The greatest athlete on the field of the court is useless if they don't know what to do. Right? We all, growing up, especially this area, Rouge, Ecorse, Southwest, We all know amazing athletes that we grew up with. People that could dribble and shoot a basketball like you ain't never seen. People who were fast like you ain't never seen. People who could play baseball. They were amazing. But if they couldn't learn the plays, college wasn't going to work. If they couldn't go to class, college wasn't going to work. If they wanted to be on Visigar all day, college wasn't going to work. So likewise, we as Christians, no matter how talented and gifted we may be, we must know our word. Your gifts are a waste if you don't know what God wants you to do with them. They are wasting. God told us in scripture, everything that we need is already inside of the body. But we have a lot of people who don't know the word enough to put their gifts to use. And we don't think about it that way. I always call out my sister in the ministry, Reverend Orange. She is an amazing administrator. What I mean by that is she can organize things, she can organize people, she can explain it in a nice, simple way so that everyone can understand it. And she doesn't think that's a gift. And I tell her all the time, if we did not have you here, because I don't have that. So I married one. I don't have it. She does. I don't. She got the next 50 years of our life planned out. I ain't got to think about it. But if something go wrong and it need to be fixed in enough 50 minutes, that's me. I do emergencies. I can do emergencies. I just can't do the long-term planning. My mind don't work that way. But if everything go crazy at once, I was like, great, this is what I do. Like, let's do this. But I can't do long-term. So in verse 7 and 8, we see how God reminded Joshua of the fact that he needed to meditate on the word. Joshua was told to stick to the playbook. He wasn't being asked to develop the plays. He was just being asked to do what was already there. And that's what all of us are doing. We want to recreate the wheel and we think we got to. We just have to do what's already written. My pastor tells me all the time, he says it, and I believe it more and more and more the older I get. He always says, I ain't got to be the smartest one in the room. I just got to be the most obedient one in the room. He tells us all, he's like, there's a bunch of y'all smarter than me. I just need to be obedient to God's word. One of my good friends, Pastor John Boyd, he said something, and I told him I was going to steal it. And I got a rule. I'll give you credit 3 times, and then after that, it's mine. So this is the second time I'm giving John credit. So he got one more, and then it's mine. So what he said is that obedience is God's love language. If you want to please God and get something through to God, just obey him. All that other stuff is, if you just do what I say, he's in love with you because you do what he says. So obedience is God's love language. So Moses had already delivered the playbook from God. He got the law from God and then he gave it to the people. Joshua was just told to run the plays and to run them exactly. Right? My Uncle Tony back there, my Uncle Charles, he's a running back. So he will fully understand this. If I tell you we running a dive to the A gap and you run to the B gap, you're going to get your head knocked off because I told you to go right there and you went over there. And that's what often happens with us and God. God tells us to do it this way. And we say, well, I'm more comfortable doing it this way. And then they're like, well, it didn't work. And God said, because you didn't do it the way I told you to. I always say, if you do something and it don't work out, that was you. That was not God. People will say, well, God, I did. No, if you did it the way he wanted, he told you to, I guarantee you it would have worked. If it didn't, you did something you wasn't supposed to do. So God also let him know that he needed to review and think on the plays constantly. Meditate on it. That word meditate, it's like, I've learned this living way out in Battle Creek with all them farm boys I work with. And my pastor says it too a lot, like a cow. A cow's got three stomachs, right? And it's called rumination. They eat grass and digest it in one stomach. They spit it up. It goes to the next stomach that digested. They spit it up again. And then they swallow it again and it goes to the next stomach. And then it processes. Because it's grass. It ain't no nutrition in grass. So a cow is able to suck every little bit of nutrition out of that grass. It digested three different times. Every little bit of nutrition comes out of it. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We read it once and we say, oh, this is what it means. No. Keep studying. Keep meditating. It's scriptures I didn't know since I was 5. And at 35, I read and was like, oh, I didn't know that meant that. Oh, that makes more sense. Because when you meditate on God's word, God reveals more and more of himself to you. So it's not just about knowing God on surface level, at a face level. It is about getting a deep understanding and relationship with him. It is about knowing his word in an intimate way. And we hear the word intimate and we always equate it to sex. No, intimacy is closeness. You have to be close to God and his word. So much so that it spills out of you, right? If you ever had somebody cuss you out or lose it and they say, I didn't mean that. I say, yeah, you did. You might be sorry for it, but you meant it. Because only what's in you can come out. If it wasn't in you, it couldn't have come out. It was in you. So for us as Christians, what should be in us is the word of God. So when you make me mad, the word of God comes out. When you get on my nerves, the word of God comes out because that's what's in me. Anger's not in me. Hatefulness isn't in me. Spite isn't in me. The word of God is in me. So if you cut me, I'm going to bleed scripture on you. Because that's what's in me. And people, and everyone who knows me will tell you, my aunt, who is also my godmother right here, my cousin, who is basically my brother, will tell you right here, that has not always been the case. And the last 3 weeks have really challenged that. So that's what we have to do. We have to become intimate. We have to follow and memorize that playbook. So sometimes the other team throws something new our way. And we've never seen it before. But God has developed the plays in such a way that we can adapt and react to anything. Right? How many of y'all in here from River Rouge or went to River Rouge? Quite a few, right? My grandfather graduated from River Rouge in 1948. I graduated from River Rouge in 2003. We were running the same offense that my grandfather ran in 1948 when I graduated in 2003 in basketball. We were still running the motion offense, right? You think in 50 some odd years, somebody would have figured out how to beat us, right? Nope. Why? Because I was always taught, if we do what we do well, it don't even matter what they do. And that's the same way it is with the word of God. If I follow this word well, it doesn't matter what the world does. I got the perfect game plan. You can't beat it. In sports, they'll have a saying, perfect offense beats perfect defense every time. Which drove me crazy because I played defensive football. I could guard you perfectly, but if the quarterback made the perfect throw to the perfect spot, there was nothing I could do about it. We've got the perfect game plan. So let's get the point. Who's my timekeeper? I haven't gotten, okay. We ain't gonna go over, don't worry. My cousin cooking today and I wanna eat. So point three, third and final point. And this is something that I have been very poor at in my life. This is something that as fathers, we need much more of. And it's that God encouraged Joshua. In verse 5 and 7, which we read, and I'm just going to read verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou go. God reminded Joshua, be strong, be courageous, I'm with you. One of the best traits a coach can have is to be able to uplift his players. So fathers, likewise, as fathers, we have to be able to uplift our children and our families, right? I always say, I want my kids, if they mess up, to not say, man, my father gonna kill me. They're gonna be like, I need to call my daddy. Because I done messed up, I can't handle this, I need to call my daddy. He's gonna handle it. He'll fix it. So in this text, God gives Joshua confidence in verse 5, where he says, and it's like you can almost hear him say, you're the best. Nobody can beat you. I got your back. Now, what a feeling to know that God believes in us. God believes in you. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your friend. God believes in you. Right? And I always say, no Christian should have low self-esteem. No Christian. You should be borderline arrogant. And what I mean by that is people confuse the word humble. I'm humble before God, not you. And what I mean by that is I'm humble because I understand where my blessings come from. They come from Him. So to Him, I am humble. Thank you, Lord. I know it comes from you. But to someone else, no, I'll tell you that I'm good at something. Nope, I'm good at that. God gave me that ability, and I am good at that. And I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. Right. And the word travels when you're good at something. I work in a city of 50,000 people. I have been working at this department for 5. I was working at another one for 3 before that. But very quickly, within the first 12 months, I worked at my new department. Word went out amongst the city of Battle Creek. And even though I didn't got old and I don't really have to do it no more, everybody in the hood know, hey, if that one big black officer pull up, don't run. Like, word went out fast. I've pulled people over and got to the car. Dude was like, man, I ain't even gonna lie. I was gonna take off, period, but I saw it was you. Because I'm going to catch you. And then there's a tax for making me run because I don't like to run. So we got to take a tax for making me run. And if you want to fight, we're going to make 2 stops. We're going to stop by the hospital before we stop to the gym. So don't fight and don't run. So anyway. Like I said, what a feeling to know that God believes in us. And the confidence building just continues in verse 6 and 7, where God says, be strong and of good courage. Now, how many of us could benefit from hearing that, as I said? Hearing that God is telling you, be strong, be of good courage. I got your back. So from knowing that there is nothing for us to fear, like some of us, Joshua must not have been listening. Because as I said in verse 9, God had to repeat himself and tell him again, be strong and of good courage. I'm with you. So remember, God has no problem telling us again. If you read scripture, things are repeated over and over and over again. Because God knows we ain't listening. If we was listening, we wouldn't have to say it again. But we don't. So he have to say it again, right? Oh, my oldest is 10, about to be 11, so I got babies. Y'all know how many times I done said the same thing over and over and over again? Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. I say the same stuff every day. I just wish I had an app on my phone of just pre-programmed phrases so I wouldn't even have to talk. I just press play. Because I'm going to say the same stuff every day. So this text, among many, many others, but it shows that our unbelief does not change the truth of God's word. It's no less true because you don't believe it. And I remind people that all the time. When you're talking to people and they may be atheists or agnostic, or I was messing with the Hebrew Israelites at the Riverwalk yesterday. It's fun to me. I'm a troll. Let's see what it is. But you not believing something don't make it no less true. And I tell them that all the time. Hey, just because you don't believe it, it don't make it not true. It just means you don't believe it. So, something that is certainly true and something that we stand on is that God sent his one and only son to die on Calvary for us. He sent his one and only son to suffer for us. Life itself was suffering for him. Imagine you've lived for eternity with your heavenly Father in heaven with the presence of God. That's where you've been. And then you get sent to earth. You're talking about a letdown. I gotta work. I gotta sweat. I gotta get sick. I gotta get hurt. I gotta lose loved ones. Because we remember, Jesus is born, and then up to the age of 2, we have things. Then there's that gap, and then when he's 30, he picks up. Joseph was there at the beginning, then he wasn't when he was 30. So at some point in there, Joseph died. So Jesus experienced loss. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. That was his friend. Jesus knows what it is to lose someone. So he had to experience all of that. He had to experience people talking about him. He had to experience his brothers and sisters not believing in him. He had to hurt for us. And as a father, we all know, I would not allow my kids to have a hangnail for none of y'all. And it sounds terrible to say, but every father in here feels this. We don't want our babies to have no pain. We want to protect them from everything and everyone. Because they are babies and we love them. Likewise, our Heavenly Father loved his son, but he loved us so much that he said, I am willing to send my only child to live among you. I'm willing to send my only child to die for you, even though you're ungrateful, even though you complain, even though y'all not gonna believe in me. Even though you gonna blame me for everything that go wrong in your life, still, I'm gonna send my son to die for you. And when you think about it in that context, when you think about it from the context of a father giving his son, it's almost like, how dare I not accept Jesus? Like the audacity that I would have to not accept Jesus when God sacrificed for this. So Jesus died for you. Despite all of our faults, he loves us. He loves us in a way that we can't comprehend. I mean, my wife always talking about it. There's no such thing as unconditional human love. It don't exist. All my love got conditions. Seriously, when we all do, there are things that people you love could do to you that would get them cut out of your life. No matter who they are, there is something they could do to you that would get them cut out of your life. So we don't have unconditional love. God has said, once you accept my son,
there is nothing you can do to get rid of me. There is nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. People, we don't have that. We're working towards it, but we don't have that. So with that love in mind, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, let's do it now. It's because of social media, because of news, everyone is now getting to see what I've been watching for the last decade. Folks, it's crazy. Shooting up schools, shooting up grocery stores, shooting up churches. Hence why I bring my work equipment to church. Shooting up schools, shooting up churches. If I get one more text about a kid that I used to work with at Rouge getting killed out here, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, it's ridiculous. So do it now. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, let's do that right now. We have multiple people in here, the reverends, the deacons, me, whoever you're comfortable sitting with and talking to. We can lead you down that path. We can get you safe, saved, and covered. It is not about joining a church. It is about joining the church. So if Running for Christ is not the church for you, we can get you connected somewhere else. If you don't live over here and you're on the west side of the state, holler at me. We can get you connected somewhere over there. If you moving out of state, we know somebody. We can get you plugged in, but we want you safe. We want you saved. We want you covered. We want you to be a part of the kingdom. And that is the goal. So if there are none, God bless you. I love you. And remember that fathers in particular, we have an assignment. We have a job here. We have an assignment. We have a duty and a responsibility to these little people that we have brought in the world. And if we are going to do that, we got to know how to do that. So we got to study this playbook. We got to read this playbook. We got to ruminate on it. We got to allow it to get inside of us so that everything that we do, everything that we say to them is coming from this. And not our opinions, because our opinions are wrong 90% of the time. Make sure you're pouring scripture into them, not what Big Mama told you when you were 6. Right? God bless you, God keep you, and it was amazing to be back home with you. I love you.
I'd like to thank God for that brother and that wonderful word. Yeah. Once again, that long tape line of preachers. Like you all know, as we do, whenever Pastor O doesn't preach, we take up a love offering for our speaker. So let's do that this time, please. Thank you.
Y'all, that was an awesome word. We are so thankful. We know that you came a very long way. And so we are grateful for the time that you took to bring us an amazing word. So thank you so very much. Okay. So just a couple of quick announcements. I know it's an off week for me. Check the back table. You got your questions for Monday are back there. It's two cards back there for two of the mothers. If Deacon Eric has not grabbed them up yet, please, they're still back there. Okay, so please sign those cards. Let me see, what else? Oh, Kathy, Kat's class. We know it's probably going to be specifically about fathers today. So don't forget to listen to Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk at 4 p.m. Deacon Oliver is going to be teaching Proverbs chapters 21 to 25 this week on Wednesday. So please keep also them in your prayers as well as the whole list of stuff. So for those of you who listen to Blog Talk, you know, I read a plethora of announcements. But we do want to keep in prayer Mother Irma Miller, Pastor John Mack, who is in the hospital. Mother Irma Miller is at home recovering. Pray for all of our mothers. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn is not here. Mother Persia, we're so thankful to have her holding it down in here today. Pray for all of those who are bereaved and grieving. You know, like you said, constant text messages coming. The news is inundated. It's almost hard to even keep up with what's going on. So just make sure we're continuing to pray all the time. Again, congratulations to all of our graduates. We're so grateful for them. And, you know, we ask continuous prayers as they continue to transition into adulthood, which is not always a party. okay. So happy birthday. I'm just going to do the whole June birthday list. We got Harley. We got Marissa, Mother Cheryl, Keela, Luke, Sharon, Deacon Eric. We got Alexandria, Zania, Naomi, and Elitris. All y'all, happy birthday to all y'all. Amen. So, I read a poem yesterday about Father's Day. And so, oh, wait. Hold on. Okay, so Sarah wanted me to make an announcement. I guess there is something called Married for Cause, and it's a gathering. The topic is men and women think differently. So it's for married couples only, and it's this Saturday, June 25th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30. And why is invest in your marriage through Christ? And it's virtual and in person at Berean Chapel of Detroit, 8422 Pembroke. So the registration ends on June 23rd. James and Sarah are the guest speakers. Virtual information will be given when registration is complete. So if you're interested and need registration information, Sarah can send you a link right to your phone. And if you don't have her number, obviously it can be shared. All right, so the poem that I read yesterday is entitled, What is a Dad? And it says, a dad is a person who is loving and kind and often knows what you have on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests, and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of your triumphs, but when things go wrong, a dad can be patient and helpful and strong. In all that you do, a dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him your dad. Thank you, Dad, for listening and caring, for giving and sharing, but most of all, for just being you. So I was requested to read that. Sheila, do you want me to read the prayer too or just the poem?
Whatever you feel.
Okay. Well, I read the poem. So I'll read the prayer as well. It says, Heavenly Father, today we ask you to bless our earthly fathers for the many times they reflected the love, strength, generosity, wisdom, and mercy that you exemplify in your relationship with us, your children. We honor our fathers for putting our needs above their own convenience and comfort, for teaching us to show courage and determination in the face of adversity, for challenging us to move beyond self-limiting boundaries, for modeling the qualities that will turn us into responsible, principled, caring adults. Not all of our fathers lived up to these ideals, but give them the grace to acknowledge and learn from their mistakes. Give us the grace to extend to them the same forgiveness that you offer us all. Help us to resist the urge to stay stuck in past bitterness, instead moving forward with humility and peace of heart. We ask your blessing on those men who served as father figures in our lives when our biological fathers weren't able to do so. May the love and selflessness that they showed be returned to them in all their relationships and help them to know that their influence has changed us for the better. Give new and future fathers the guidance they need to raise happy and holy children grounded in a love for God and other people. And remind these fathers that treating their wives with dignity, compassion, and respect is one of the greatest gifts that they can give their children. And so we pray that our fathers who have passed on into the next life have been welcomed into your loving embrace, and that our family will one day be reunited in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we thank you for fathers all over the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So happy Father's Day. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day, Juneteenth. So you know Sheila. So you know Sheila has prepared something for the fathers. So I'm gonna be presenting these. So I just want to say these young men I'm gonna call up now. We applaud all the men in our church, but to see these two young men that sit in the back that comes to church with their children that's present in their lives and to guide them in God's word, we just heard a great sermon about this and about being a part of your child's lives and leading them. So the first person I'm going to call up is Damar. I hope I pronounced it right, because if I didn't, blame Jonathan.
Yeah,
Damar. Sorry. You might hold that for me? Thank you. And the next one is Anthony. With the baby in his arms. Amen. Can't break that sleep. That's that peace for a few minutes. And the next person we have is Curtis. And this one, he got like, what you got, like four? So definitely, right. So really praise him. Amen. And next is Ryan. Oh, I thought she was in the back. Sorry. And Edward Johnson. Deacon Rayfield, who's my uncle, and he has been our father. Anybody that know him that been through Living Rouge, you know, everybody know him. That's my uncle, and he got so many of us as his children. So he's not here, but we'll be over his house later today. Sorry, June. We'll be here. Bug him. Deacon Eric.
All right, well.
Make sure you sign the cards. And Deacon Eric goes out and visit he's our sick and shut in deacon. And he delivers and he makes sure they get communion and everything. And thank you for that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. These glasses. And our co-chairman, Deacon Mackey.
Yeah.
Right. And co-chairman Charles Tate.
Yeah.
Come on. No. Come on. If you don't walk down this aisle, I know where you live. Okay? Come on. This everybody did.
Okay.
Be telling everybody. See you in the street, stop you, and be telling your business. No. Okay. And this is this go to Jonathan, assistant pastor Jonathan Tate.
Amen.
And his babies. They ain't babies no more. Look at look at them.
She was gonna save them for the rest of my time. She pulled up. Yeah,
gotcha. And last but not least,
amen.
Our illustrious pastor, Gerald Overall, better known as Sweet G's, formerly known as Sweet G's. Come on down, come on down. In the house. See?
11 overall.
All right. And thank you for everybody who's here today, and hope to see you next Sunday.
Thanks for coming.
Just a quick note. Y'all notice Lorenzo, Jedediah, Chandler, there's Adrian, and then there's little TJ. You got a lot of babies. So we're going to, probably in the month of July, have a Sunday. I'll get with the parents to set up so we can at one time dedicate all of these babies.
July 27th.
So we might wait for Gia. No, Gia gonna get her own separate because Isaiah might be ready to do that for us then. But in the meantime, though, so we're gonna do that. So make sure we send that announcement around and we, with the parents, we all show up because it's not just dedicating the children to the Lord, it's dedicating the parents and the congregation to support these parents. Because we family, and it needs the whole family. Amen?
Amen.
This all the junior praise team we got today.
Right,
he get his own mic today. All right. All right. So standing to your feet. We got a good word. We ate good this spiritual. Now we get to go home and eat good physical. But we get to declare the name of Jesus. Not just by what we say, but always by what we do.
again, it's great to be with everyone today. Let us do this benediction and get y'all home to them pots I know y'all got waiting. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this gathering of your people. We thank you and praise you that we have been able to worship your name, to give you the praise and honor and glory that you are due. And Lord, now we pray that as we go from this place, whenever your presence, that we will be safe, we will be secured, and that we would love on our fathers today as we should. So as you said in your word, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of your beloved Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.